Have your Bibles with you. Turn with me to Matthew 16, 21 to 26. I want to talk about a time to get serious, So Matthew 16, 21 to 26. I actually was thinking of doing this sermon over a week ago, and then we had that fellowship time at the end, and I was seeing so many people were sharing. I said, I don't think this sermon is going to go over that well with, we're all going to have a whole bunch of fun and pastors trying to be serious, so just postpone it to this week, change it around. But anyway, Matthew 16, starting at verse 21, it says, "From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but on the third day he'd be raised from the dead. But Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him by saying such things, 'Heaven forbid, Lord, this would never happen to you.' And Jesus turned to Peter and said, 'Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You're seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's.' Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?'" Father, I just pray your blessing upon this word today. And I pray that, Lord, it would find a resting place in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning I want to share with you about this being a time where we need to be more serious with God. And maybe we need to ask ourselves that question and say, God, do I need to be more serious in my relationship with you? And as you listen for that, you know, listen to his voice to see what he says back to you. Do I need to be more serious in my relationship with God? Now, life holds many challenges, and our lives are very busy lives. And we chase so many things, and we value so many different things of life. And sometimes, you know, we don't necessarily want to make it happen, but sometimes it just does happen that God kind of gets the shorter end of the stick, or God kind of gets our leftovers. And again, we don't plan that, but sometimes, you know, our pursuits of life, you know, they just have a way of occupying our time, our efforts, our finances, you know, usually more than what we planned. You know, we still love God. We want to keep our faith alive, but sometimes, you know, that faith, if we're not careful, gets overlooked. It kind of gets sometimes on a back burner. And we don't spend the time that we should with our God or doing the things of God. You know, our faith sometimes can be treated lightly. And if we're not, again, if you're not careful, slowly, gradually, we can drift away from our commitment to God and begin to rationalize everything, that everything's still okay with God because, you know, we can rationalize all these things. And, of course, there's lots of help out there as well. As you go on the internet, there's all kinds of other people that want to rationalize sin and rationalize bad behavior. And so it's very easy for us to rationalize things and kind of convince ourselves that, you know, maybe I don't really need to be all that serious about God. Now, when we look to the Bible, that's not a message that we get from the Bible. You will not find that in there that, you know, well, just faith isn't that big of a deal. Don't worry too much about it. You know, make sure you go to church once in a while and you're good. Or say a little prayer and you're good. That's not what the Bible says. And we need to be careful about that. And you know, when we come to the apostles, you know, they were kind of having some misgivings about what really was to follow Jesus Christ. If we read more of the story and read through the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll see that there was a time where there were many more disciples. But a lot of those disciples, when they start realizing that what they thought was going to take place, when they came to a place and realized that's not what was going to happen, they began to walk away. And Jesus was left with his 12. But even as 12, they didn't fully understand everything that Jesus was there to do. They didn't foresee, even though Jesus, you know, talked about it often with them, that he was going to die and that he was going to rise from the dead. I find it kind of interesting as you read the scriptures where Jesus is telling them about that, that somehow they kind of missed that truth. And it just kind of flew by them. And I guess their minds were focused on, you know, getting rid of the Romans and having the Messiah come and start ruling the world. Their focus was really there. They weren't focusing on what had to be done for salvation to come to our world. And so that was something they didn't quite understand. And so Jesus is kind of speaking to them and says, your journey is about to change. There's going to be a new level of understanding for you. There's going to be areas of hardship and difficulties. There's going to be persecution that are going to come your way. Their faith was going to be taken a hard hit, and their relationship with Christ was going to be put to the test. Are you really a follower of Jesus? And again, that can be a question that we ask ourselves. Am I really a follower of Jesus? Or am I just going through some motions? Or am I just hanging around, kind of, you know, making sure just in case, you know, some insurance policy? Or are we really a disciple of Christ? So their journey so far, the disciples, was relatively easy to compare to what was going to be taking place very soon. And Jesus, you know, trying to prepare his disciples, you know, he gives them a very direct statement of what it really is to be a disciple, or what it really is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And we hear these statements in the scriptures, and one of those statements that is very powerful comes from Matthew 16:24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower or my disciple, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. Now that speaks to me that this whole relationship with Jesus Christ is not just something that you just on a whim decide to do. It's something that's very serious. And that when we commit our life to Christ, it's something that's very important in our lives to stay in that relationship with him. So it was time for the disciples to take their faith seriously and to be prepared for some costs in being a follower of Jesus Christ. And it was demanding a new seriousness in their lives, a new commitment to being a follower of Christ. And I really believe in a sense that as well. In the days that we're living right now, I sense that our journey of faith is going to require some new understanding, some new revelation, some new commitment, a new seriousness on our part about where we stand with God. You know, while some things ahead are going to be good and exciting in our world, other things that happen may not be so exciting and may even be hard. But either way, we still need to be prepared. And I believe God is wanting to prepare us for what is to come, and he's requiring from us a new seriousness and a new commitment in regards to our faith. And while our faith has been relatively, you know, easy up to this point, really sense there may be things that may happen that are really going to test that faith. And that, you know, the Lord might bring you through a time where you're going to realize that, you know what, I need to be stronger. I need a relationship that is better with God, and that, you know, I can't keep tolerating some things that God keeps speaking to me about. It's time for me to get very serious with God, that I might experience what God has for me and my future. Now, there's a huge cost when we think of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. He left the glory of heaven to be born as a human being, taking on flesh. You just think about that, and like, who of us would do that? That if we're in heaven and we all the glories of heaven, then we say, I think I'll go down there. I think I'll go down there where all the sin is and all these people that are hating us, and that I would give my life for them and be a sacrifice for sin. And that as I do that, I will then conquer not only sin, but I will conquer death and rise again. But I'll go through all of this punishment. I'll go through all this cruelty, torture, just because I love these people. There's a cost to following Jesus Christ. There's a cost when we make a choice to say, I choose to be a believer in Jesus Christ. And so that's what I really think God is trying to tell us today, that we need to be prepared to start counting the cost. There's a cost for you to be a believer in Jesus Christ. There's a seriousness, and I believe that God is calling us to a greater measure of seriousness in our faith. And that we would really, you know, be the people that God is really calling us to be. Because, you know, as we look at the signs of the times and things that are happening in our world, it should be telling all of us that, how's my faith doing? How's my faith? Where is my faith at? I like the passage of Scripture where Jesus warning us that when that time does come, he says in Luke chapter 21, 28, he says, so when all those things begin to happen, stand up and look up, for your salvation is near. Your redemption is drawing nigh. And so the Bible says we need to work in our salvation with fear and with trembling and with great reverence and great fear. You know, it's talking about a seriousness, not to be scared of God, but to take your role as a Christian very seriously and to prioritize your faith in Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's what I'm sensing even in my own life. You know, like, you got to take things more seriously because time is getting short, and it's only that which is done for Christ that's going to last anyway for all eternity. And just to be open to what God may want you to do. You know, sometimes God may call you to do something that you don't want to do. You know, it's easy when God tells you, go and do this and go that, and you enjoy doing that. And I was like, yeah, all right, this fantastic God. But when God starts talking to you and asks you to do things that you don't want to do, that gets a whole lot. That's when we start to rationalize and say, oh, no, I don't think so. I think, God, you kind of missed the person. They're sitting over there. I think your conviction needs to just go to the other side. I think that's for them, but not for me. And so there's a seriousness I believe that God is wanting to speak to us about. And so I want to use this passage here of Matthew 16, 24, just to encourage us all, and also for us to ask ourselves, am I to be taking my faith a little bit more serious today? So first of all, in being a time to be more serious about faith, we see that Jesus challenges us here in what a follower or a disciple of Christ really is and how seriously, you know, we should be about being a follower of Jesus Christ. So Jesus, if you want to be my disciple, verse 24, if anyone wants to be my disciple, or if anyone wants to be my follower, does anyone want to be my follower? Disciple, follower, same thing. So some translations use the word disciple, other translations use follower. And I think the disciple word is a little bit stronger word that means a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Not just simply being a follower, but a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. Someone who is dedicated, committed, serious about following Christ and his teachings and in his way. And to be a follower of Christ, you know, it's more than just saying a sinner's prayer. You know, saying a little prayer, and, you know, we all have done that. That's where we all start, with saying a prayer to God. But that's not the end of it. That's just the beginning of it. Or saying that, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. You know, I attend a church. It might be every Sunday. It may not be every Sunday, but I do attend a church. But a disciple or a follower of Christ is a person who is following, learning, applying, studying, imitating, mirroring, obeying, who is loyal, who is committed. Those are key characteristics of what a disciple of Christ is or what a follower of Christ is. And you can just look that in any dictionary and you'll find all those words that would describe what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so that's something that's, you know, we need to take seriously and to make sure that we're representing Christ in the way that he wants us to represent him in word and in deed. And our example is not other preachers. Our example is not other Christians. Our example is the Lord himself. We're to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's who we're to follow, not other people, other churches, what everyone else is doing. We're to keep our focus on Jesus and follow what he says and live as he lived. And so that's something that's very important for us to understand. You know, to chase after, to stay close to Jesus, to learn from him, to follow what he teaches, to follow what he commands, and to make sure that we're actually good students of our God. And that's what's needed to be a true follower or a true disciple today. To take that relationship and that practice of faith seriously, to be that follower that God wants us to be. I like the passage in Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25. Jesus says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise. Like a person who builds a house on solid rock, though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock." That passage goes on to talk about those who don't take their faith seriously, those who would, in the illustration, build their house on the sand, and that when troubles come and when the rains come, suddenly that house can be washed away. So he's talking again about taking your faith seriously. Build wisely. Pay attention to your Lord, your Master, your Savior. See what he does because you want to build on what he tells us to do, not on what others may be telling us to do. So again, very important, you know, to be strong in our faith, to be a disciple of the faith. And so that's kind of the first part, you know, to take a greater seriousness to our faith. Are we a disciple? Are we a true follower of Jesus Christ? And that's really a question only you can really answer. Are you a true follower? Are you a true disciple of Jesus Christ? And then secondly, there's a challenge here by Jesus to be more serious about denying ourselves, about turning away from our own selfish desires, about things that we want to do. Now, he's not telling us that you throw away everything you want to do in your life, not at all. But he's talking about a focus, that the focus becomes on him rather than yourself. You can still get to enjoy life. God actually promises that, that you know, as we give to him, as we respond to it, as we seek first the kingdom of God, then what does it say? All these things shall be added unto you. So you don't miss out serving God. You actually gain. You get increase. Comes back your way. And so that's a wonderful thing. But if you're going to be a follower, Matthew 16, 24, it says, if you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Other translation says you must deny yourselves or turn from your selfish ways. It expresses a willingness to set aside or lay down our wants, our pleasures, our attitudes, our interests, any selfish desires, our opinions, all for the furtherance of Christ. Now, it's not saying that you have to. It's talking about a willingness where you come to that place and say, well, God, I really enjoy doing this, but God, if you're asking me to give this up for you, then our answer needs to be, yes, I'll do that. Whatever it is. Doesn't that be a bad thing? Sometimes we just think we have to give up bad. Sometimes God might ask you to give up something that's totally good or totally legitimate. A lot of other Christians are doing those things, but God might put his finger on you and say, but I want you to give that up for me. So there needs to be a willingness to lay aside those things for the focus to be on Christ. You know, it's a focus that will take us away from our own desires and bring us more in line with what God desires, that we might then know the will of God. Philippians 2, 5 and 8, I think that's a good portion of Scripture. It says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. I think that gives us a pretty good description of what we should expect when the Bible talks about denying yourself. It's being willing to let those things of life go. That what's most important in your life becomes Jesus Christ and serving him. And then the other things become secondary in life. Doesn't mean that they're all gone. Just means that they're secondary and he's first. So it's making the kingdom of God our primary concern. Loving our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And so basically that the other things of life don't become their priority anymore, because now we have a desire and a willingness to lay down anything that might interfere with that relationship or drawing closer to Jesus Christ. So I'm not sure if we're all there yet or not, but it certainly is something that daily we need to commit ourselves to the Lord, choosing his ways over our ways, choosing to follow in his path than the path of the world. Serving and following Jesus becomes the most important thing in our life. There's nothing more important than doing that. I was really blessed as a dad to see in my son's and Rachel's wedding that they took a time out just to worship the Lord and just to observe them worshiping God in that song, making commitments to God as they were making their vows. They were taking those very seriously, having people come around them and pray for them, because they were making a choice even in their wedding that Jesus Christ is still going to be first in this relationship. And that's important. And it's a can be a daily task that we all have, that each day that we need to make choices. Choices to serve the Lord. Choices to have God in our lives, that his will would be done in our lives each day. So sometimes there's some things we need to deal with, some challenges, some choices that we need to make concerning our ways versus God's ways. And you know, and if you feel the tug of God in a certain area of your life, may I encourage you to respond to that? Don't start asking other Christians, like, I'm really feeling convicted that I shouldn't do this anymore. Because they might say, well, I'm totally fine with that. Don't base your convictions on what other people are saying or doing. Base your convictions on what the Lord is telling you to do or what you read in the Bible. That's where we need to focus on. And so as you do that and you take your faith more seriously, I can guarantee you there's going to be some things that may fall to the wayside. Even good things, even things you might enjoy that you may have to lay down, that you might serve the Lord Jesus Christ in the way that he is wanting you to serve him. And then thirdly, Jesus challenges about being serious about taking up a cross, which again is a voluntary willingness to make sacrifices, to endure hardships for the sake of your faith in Christ. Now, for most of us, especially in North America, there's not really a lot of cost compared to a lot of other countries in the world. There are places in the world where you become a Christian, that's an instant death warrant against your life. We're blessed here in Canada. We don't have that. And even though we have some laws that are starting to come in that are not good, we're not like a lot of other places. So what we have to take up as far as a cross really is kind of light compared to a lot of other parts of the world. Matthew 16:24, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross. So crosses are symbolized, you know, sacrifice. Crosses are symbolism of a cost that you're going to have to bear. It might be some persecution. It might be ridicule. Here in North America, probably that's what we would deal with a little bit more often, ridicule. Sometimes it's hardship. Sometimes your family is not approving of your new faith in Christ. Sometimes your friends, they don't like it that you are now going to serve Jesus Christ. And there's going to be some choices. There's going to be some things that you're just going to pick up your cross and say, okay, I'm going to follow the Lord. He told me that there'd be sacrifices that I will need to make to follow after him. And really, that's how serious we need to be about our pursuit of the Lord. It's an attitude that we would do anything and everything that God may ask us to do. And we're choosing not to complain about it, but rather to say, God, if that's your will, if that's what you want, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. Even though it's a kind of a tough choice for me, even though it's going to be a challenge for me. Maybe it's a burden to you, but you're willing to do that all for Jesus, to carry that cross. And again, the point here is about being serious about that relationship with Jesus Christ, that we're willing to endure, we're willing to make sacrifices and changes to our lives no matter what happens to us or no matter what we still have to do and all this work we got to do, that when we hear the Lord says, no, I want you to do this, we just, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I don't know how I'm going to get these other things done, God, but if you're asking me, I'll do it. Kind of like, you know, Samuel the prophet, here am I, Lord. Here am I. What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Here am I. Use me. Volunteer yourself. I surrender my life to you. I welcome you to be Lord of my life. That's part of really of salvation. It's not just simply repenting of our sins and believing in Jesus. It's coming to that place where you say, I welcome you to be Lord of my life. I surrender myself to you. Like the old hymn, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. That's what we're doing. We're surrendering ourselves. Say, Lord, I now give myself to you. That's an important. Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says, so dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all that he's done for you. Let your body be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So often we're influenced by our world. So often we're influenced even by other Christians, by other ministers, and by other ministries that are out there. And again, the Lord's pointing us back to him, to focus on him, and that we would present ourselves and say, Lord, here am I. I'm a willing sacrifice. Use me. I'll do whatever you want me to do. So taking up your cross begins by giving your life to Christ, choosing to follow him, and then being willing to sacrifice anything, whether it's something that's bad. Usually those are a little bit easier to give up. But things maybe that you enjoy and you don't want to give up. Sometimes the Lord might put his finger on there and test you and say, I want you to give this up for me. That can be a difficult thing at times for us. But we need to be that place where we're serious enough and say, okay, God, I believe that you will have something better for me if you're asking me to give up something that I really do enjoy. And he does. He does. So your standard of living is not what the world says. It's not what the world chases after, but it's what God says and having God lead your life. So I think God's one has raised the bar concerning taking up your cross and to follow him. Let's be willing to do that. Let's go at that little bit extra, that new seriousness, that if the Lord is asking us to give up something, maybe carry that cross, maybe go through some hard times, difficult times, because not every Christian is going through a great time. There are Christians right here in this room that are going through a very difficult time, and it's very hard on them, and it's hard on any of us when we go through hard times. But sometimes there's a cross to bear that we might reach the goal that God has for us. Then lastly in this challenge, we're encouraged to be more serious about following Jesus himself. Matthew 16, 24, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, follow me. Again, that focus really needs to be upon Jesus. He's my example. Not the world, not other Christians, not churches or ministries. He is my example. To follow after him, to chase after him with all my might, with all my strength. He's not interested in a half effort or a three-quarter effort. He wants 100% from us, to make that commitment to follow him all the way, whether life is good or whether life is bad. You know, for some people, man, they go through a lot in life. Amazing stories. We have a lot of amazing stories in this church of hardships, of difficulties, terrible things that have happened to people, but they've come through them. And that's an important thing to recognize. You've come through them. So we're to choose to follow the Lord, whatever might come our way. Decide to follow Jesus with no turning back. That's kind of the commitment that Jesus is really looking for that we might give to him. To follow Jesus all the way. A pledge of allegiance where you are my Lord, you are my Savior, you are my King, and I plead my allegiance to you. Again, that's part of salvation, where we get to that place in our lives. Starts with a little prayer, but then as you go on in your relationship with Christ, it comes to a place where you're going to pledge your allegiance. And your allegiance is either going to be to him, it's going to be to yourself, or it's going to be to the things of this world. And our allegiance needs to be him. When we talk about allegiance, we're talking about loyalty, faithfulness, support, serving, a decision, again, where there is no other option. There is no other option. We don't turn back. We don't go back. It's Jesus Christ all the way. So that's something I believe that is necessary, that he's calling us to. Get back to a relationship where you're serious with God. There's a lot of people that I meet as I go around the community or as we travel, meet people. It's kind of interesting how God can arrange your steps where you run into people and you can see some people that used to serve God and they don't do that anymore. And you can kind of share with them and talk with them like, you know what? I believe God's calling us back. I really do. I really think it's time, you know, get back to church, get back to serving the Lord, get back into a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. There's some of you that are here today for that very reason, because you've been sensing a drawing inside of you that all of a sudden that, you know what, I think this whole faith thing is real and it's important, and I need to start responding to that. And I believe there's going to be a good harvest of people that are still going to keep coming, and that we're going to see more and more people, this place to be overflowing, because the Lord is speaking to people and drawing people back. I believe even if the backslider, those that have kind of taken a step backwards from God, that there's going to be a big harvest of them as well, that God's going to start drawing into the church again, and that we see people serving the Lord full-heartedly once again. So the Lord, he's looking for complete surrender, complete dedication, complete and a solid decision to serve him all the days of our lives, because that's what really is important. Hebrews 13, 14 to 15 says this. He said, "For this world, it's not your permanent home. We're looking forward to a home that's yet to come. So therefore, let us offer Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name." No, that's really kind of part of worship. You know, as you're raising your hands, you might be just doing that because you like to worship God and raise your hands. But really, that's like, I'm pledging allegiance to you, God. That's where my allegiance is. I love you. I adore you, and I lift up my hands to you, declare that my allegiance is to you. You are my Lord and my Savior, my God and my King. That's what he's looking for. And the Bible says he's coming back as a king. That's why allegiance is important. You're going to plead allegiance to the King. You're going to bow down before him. The Bible says every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Make that proclamation now. Make it now. Make it now. And I do pray that you do sense that urgency, that today is the day of salvation. And today is the day to take our faith seriously. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 and 2 says, "As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time I heard you, on the day of salvation I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is a day of salvation." When Jesus himself was preaching to the crowds about following him, You might remember the story in Matthew 8 where there's people that come to Jesus and they're telling him, yes, I want to follow you, but, well, I have to get this done first. But the next person comes, but, you know, I have to do this. And then another one says, well, you know, there's some legitimate things they're talking about, but they're telling God that I will serve you after I do those things. That's not what Jesus says. His response to all of them is found in Matthew 8:22, real short and quick. Follow me now. Follow me now. And I believe that's what the Lord is saying to us. Hey, today is the day to take your faith seriously. Today is the day to follow Jesus Christ now. Not later, but now. And so this morning, as we come to the end of this message, we're going to have a time of communion. Again, just being reminded of what the Lord, you know, has done for us. And again, a reminder that, you know what? Our faith is something that should be taken seriously. Jesus left the glories of heaven. Jesus went to a cross. Jesus suffered sin and shame. He took that upon himself that we might have life, that we might have an eternity with him. He did all that because he loves us. And the Bible says that as he's risen from the dead, as he ascended into the clouds, he's going to return the same way. And he's going to come back for a church that is ready to meet him. We want to be that church. We want to be those people, those Christians, those believers that are ready to receive our King. I don't think any of us would want to be if the King showed up today and he walked in through those doors that we'd be saying, oh, going through our list of prayers that we might want to pray. We should be saying, welcome, Jesus. Bowing down before him. Come on in, Lord Jesus. Come on in. And that's what he wants in our homes, too. Come on in. Come on in.